So I'm used to long time preaching. So I've been warned. Not today, she says. He who must be obeyed. Not today. The title of my message is Out of Your Belly Shall Flow. I was so blessed when Melissa said that. Rivers of living waters. Lord, let the rivers of living waters. And that's exactly what I'm preaching on this morning. Out of your belly shall flow what? How many? There's rivers, right? There's a multiple rivers should be coming out of our belly. John 7:38. John 7:38 says this. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart or his belly will flow rivers of living waters. Prior to Jesus saying that, in the next couple of verses above him, if we bring it into context, he was talking about forgiveness. He was actually talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness will block your river. Unforgiveness will block your river. Unforgiveness will dam up the flow of God in your life. Amen. We must stay liberally free with people, no matter what the circumstance or situation might have evolved. We must be free enough and secure enough to be able to forgive someone of their wrong. Amen. So there can be an opening or a flow out of my heart to others. There is to be a flow of life out of each one of us to those who are around us, out of your belly. God has placed something in each born-again believer here this morning that he wants to flow out of you to bring life to someone else. The church sometimes gets mixed up why the anointing is upon the earth. The anointing is not to have a fuzz and a buzz. It's not here just to make me feel good. It's here to equip you to touch the broken. It's here to equip you to speak the truth. It's here to equip you to have the boldness to declare his name. And it's all about people. We get too introverted in church. Yet church and the manifestation of the church is to go out and touch. Amen. 1 John 2 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. If you're born again here this morning, you might not be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you still have an anointing. In other words, your mouth still can be used. Your heart can still be moved, because he's removed the heart of stone and given me a heart of flesh. One that's able to be touched, one that's able to be moved by the hand of God. Amen. Genesis 2:10-14. Let's read that. Genesis 2:10-14. It says this. Now a river went out of Eden. Now I'm going to say some stuff you mightn't have heard before, metaphorically. I just want you to, I'm going to chuck it out and you can eat it, chew it, spit it out. I don't care what you do with it. The garden, it's a real place, don't get me wrong. But metaphorically, the garden represents you. The tree of life is your spirit. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is your soul. And the ground is your flesh. The ground was what? In the garden. It was cursed. Jesus didn't curse the man, he cursed the ground. Amen. That's why your body will die. You will be given a new body. Amen. If I eat of the tree of good and evil, which is my soul man, it will lead me astray and remove me from the presence of God. But if I eat of the tree of life, his spirit in me, I will live. Amen. Anyway, that's a back thought. Now a river went out of Eden, which means Eden means pleasure and delight, to water the garden. And from there it parted and became four river heads. It flowed out of Eden and it touched the nations. The garden was a source of the water. Amen. The name of the first one was Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, which means sandy place, unfruitful, dry, barren. God wants to water those places in people's lives. This river comes from the garden. This garden is you. And there was gold of that land, and the gold of that land is good. Bedlam. And onyx stones are there. Wealth was there. God saw something that was rich in them. Even though they're lost, they are wealthy for God. We've got to see people not as just something, but God sees them. God sees them as a treasure to Him. We've got to see them as He sees them. Amen. The second name of the river was Gihon. It's the one that goes around the whole land of Cush. Cush is the son, his name, is a son of a man called Ham, Noah's son, Cush. Ham was the one that uncovered his father. Ham was the one that got cursed. Cush. The people of Cush are called the Cushites. Nimrod, the mighty warrior, the hunter of souls, literally, was a Cushite. Amen. This is the one that goes around the land of Cush. In other words, we shouldn't be looking at people's sin. What we should be looking at is, where can I water that land? Where can I water that land? Out of your belly shall flow how many rivers? It's plural. It says rivers of living waters. Amen. You will find people that might curse God. You will find some people that might not like God, that might deny God. It doesn't mean I shouldn't let a river flow out of me to touch them. Amen. 2:14 says the name of the third river was Hiddekel. Hiddekel is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria, the modern day Syria. The modern day Syria. We'll go into that later. The fourth river is the river Euphrates. The river Euphrates. The river Euphrates never had a land to flow to because it should flow everywhere. The first three had a land to flow to, a place to minister to. But this last one, the river Euphrates, was not given a land to flow to. It was given all the land to flow to. Amen. Now we'll know what they mean. Pihon literally means this: increase, flowing over. That's that river, the first river. Increase, flowing over. Luke 6:38. Your cup should be pressed down, shaken together. Your cup should be what? Running over. Hallelujah. Your cup will only run over if you do the preceding, things He's asked in the verses above. Forgive, show mercy, release grace. Amen. To a land called Hevelah, sandy, desert, dry, barren, where there's gold, treasure, speaking of souls. I should look at people as a treasure of God. Amen. Gihon, break forth, overflow, give birth to gush, valley of grace. Out of your belly shall flow grace. Overflow. Amen. Ephesians 4:29 says, give grace to the hearers. It flowed to a land called Cush. Cush literally means black. Heap, gather, sin. Cush, so I've read that. I've already told you that. People in that situation need a new birth, a breakthrough. Amen. They need to be told someone can deal with their situation, their problems, and their sin. Amen. Hiddekel, direction, to prick, bring forth a clear sound, a word of truth. Never compromise truth for personality. I'm going to say that again. Never compromise the truth for someone's personality. Only the truth will make them free. Sometimes from their status or their personality or whoever they are or whatever the situation they're in or whatever job they've got, whatever social pressures might be about you because of their situation or their social status, never, ever, ever allow truth not to be spoken. We've got to be a man and a woman of the truth. At all costs, speak the truth. Amen? That's the river, speaking the truth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and it flow to a land called Assyria. Comes from the word Asher, son of Shem, who was blessed. Noah's son, Asher, and also there's a name called Asher, which means the sun god of Assyria. And also the capital of Assyria was a city you would have read about, and its name is Nineveh. They become idol worshippers eventually because the word didn't get spoken. And a man called Jonah was trying to escape because he was told by God to go and minister to it in a city called Nineveh. Nineveh. He ran away from the purpose and the call of God because he didn't want to minister to them people because they were the enemy of Israel. God wants you to minister to your enemies. He'll stop the boat. He'll give a word, a prophetic word. You'll be cast out of the boat, and God will take you straight back to where you're supposed to be. Hallelujah. God wants you to minister to your enemies. Sometimes you can minister only in love. Jesus tells me to bless those who curse me. Pray for those who despitefully bless them. Not with things like this. You hear Christians say things like this. I want to bless you and I want to love you with the love of the Lord, brother. He's not saying that. That's not loving them. Oh, I just want to bless you with the love of the Lord. Well, you don't have to because the Lord already loves them. He wants you to bless them with your love. Oh, it's going to get tight. I can feel it. It's going to get a little bit tight. Euphrates, sweet waters, fruitfulness, and abounding in prosperity. Not just money. Prosperity covers everything good. As your soul prospers, health, joy, peace. Those three elements, those three things that the world craves for every day. Peace, love, joy. Money cannot buy those things. Money can't buy them. Prosperity covers far more things than just money. Amen? Are you with me? Shalom, peace. If this house is worthy, to let your peace remain upon it. If it doesn't, if it's not worthy, your peace shall come back to you. God does that. Shalom, peace literally means wholeness, inner completeness, tranquility. Isn't that what the world is craving for today? Inner peace and tranquility? And inner peace and just a knowledge of a knowing that everything's going to be all right. Everything's cool. Humanity's been built like that because they need to have a reliance upon the one who created them. His name is God. Only He can bring that peace. Only He can bring that shalom peace. Amen? It has no specific destination, this river. It has no boundaries, but it was to flow to all people. Amen? You and I cannot pick who we choose to bless. You and I cannot pick who we should love. He commands it from me to love. Amen? You shall know my disciples for the love they have for one another. Glory to God. If you want to be a son, you better learn to love. Can I go a little bit deeper? Babes can choose who to love. If I feed that babe, this is happening in our family, you can feed the babe and it's all gooey and guggly and then you put your hands out to lift it up, it'll reach for someone else. Mum might walk in the room. It wants mum. Mum hasn't fed her. Mum hasn't changed them. Mum hasn't done all that. I've done all that, yet it wants mum. Babes choose. Sons choose to love all. Genesis 1:22, it says, producing that which was placed inside of you. In other words, producing after its own kind. I've got to reproduce something in me. I've got to reproduce the Christ that is within me, the hope of glory. Amen. Each believer is designed by God to be a source of a river, to be a source of these rivers to the world. Each born-again believer has rivers dwelling in their belly. You've been designed to release the river of God in your life. There's a river that comes out of us. It's a river of life, a free-flowing river. I want to reiterate, it's a free-flowing river. A free-flowing river. Amen. Jesus gives us a typical example of this. I think it's in Luke, with the woman at the well. The Samaritan woman. John 4. Thanks, darling. John 4, the Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman was going to Jacob's well. Jesus meets her where he shouldn't really be as a Jew. He meets her and he asks her to give him a drink. Remember that? First time you'll ever see in Scripture where Jesus asked anyone for anything. And he asked a Samaritan woman, the unclean, the ostracized, going to the well by day because she couldn't go to the well with the women at night because she was one of those sorts of women. She had a history. She had a past. And she wasn't accepted. And she wasn't loved. So she was in a place that a woman shouldn't be. Jesus meets her and says, "Give me a drink." Immediately she goes into her religious jargon. We won't go through all that. "You being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you a drink?" She was at Jacob's well. The word Jacob means liar, cheat, supplanter. He says, if you know who was asking you for a drink, you would ask of me and you would never thirst again. But you see, if I'm in the things of the flesh, I will always need to go to that well. If you're walking in the flesh, you will always have to visit Jacob's well. Because your society and your community and everything around you reminds you of what you shouldn't have done. Jesus says, "Give me a drink." He confronts her. She humbles herself, declares him Lord. He speaks the truth to her. He says, "Get your husband." "Oh, but the one I'm with is not my husband." "No, but you've spoken the truth. You've had five husbands." He confronts her with truth. He confronts her and she humbles herself. And when we allow humility to be part of my life and I come before him humbly and then I allow the truth to have its way in my heart, guess what? I learn to drink from a different river. But it will cost me to walk in truth in myself. And it will cost me to be humble before him. And there will be a breaking of the dam and a flow of the river. And that's what she did. She went to her city. She says, "Come and see a man. Dear Lord, come and see a man. Come and see the man that I've met." Hallelujah. Every river flows from a high place to a low place. You have to get to that place of humility to see the flow of the river in my life. Jesus humbled himself and he had a consistent flow in his life. It will cost me something to see this flow of the river in me. The problem is, what happens is if there's no free flow in my life and there's a blockage or a dam, I've got to address what's stopping the flow. "Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ." Jesus is not trying to point the finger of where it went wrong. What he wants me to see and realize, there is a blockage of the flow that he's placed within me so he can get something out of me to touch the nations. He wants these rivers to flow freely in me. So I don't look at the face of man, but I look at the heart of the person and see that there's a need within their soul, that they're broken or bruised, or they're so impoverished in their spirit. They need this God. They need Jesus. And this is what this river does in us. These rivers aren't for just me. Don't get me wrong, I can grow fruit next to the river. Psalm 1 says that the trees next to the river will bear fruit in season, and its leaves are like a medicine. Do you know your shade of your relationship with God can minister a medicine to people's souls? The peace that you have, the love that you've got, the grace that you walk in, can minister as a medicine to people's souls. Hallelujah. Allowing the river to flow freely in me. But above all, the river Euphrates touching all people around me. Peace, grace, mercy, fruitfulness, bringing fruitfulness out of barrenness. Speaking life where there is death. Speaking hope where there's hopelessness. Bringing encouragement, exhortation to a soul that might be in a place of disappointment and to be discouraged. Life. Life. James warns us that out of mouth should not flow bitter and sweet waters. And what happens, we have a mixture sometimes. Anyone ever had a mixture come out of their mouth? 1 minute, praise me, bless you, Jesus, love you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. The next minute, that peanut on the road, get him out of my way. Hey? Hey? I lost the plot in India. Of all the places to send me on the road is India. They go round the wrong way around roundabouts.
I'm not surprised.
You darling. Round the wrong way around a roundabout. I'm in a tuk-tuk with three guys, and we couldn't all fit on the back seat because they're a bit big. Not really. Anyway, I'm half hanging out the tuk-tuk. The tuk-tuk takes the corner because he's trying to miss a myriad of people. It's like dice. They walk in the middle of the road and they go like this, and they're waiting for their opportunity to jump between tuk-tuks. And cars are buzzing this way and that way, and you're thinking, Jesus, Jesus. Anyway, he turns so quickly to miss this person, the tuk-tuk goes on two wheels. My friends, my brothers in the Lord said, thank God you're on the end, Dave. I said, why, did I bring a balance to your life? But Jesus wants us to be used no matter what the situation. I was used to bring deliverance to two men, brothers in the Lord, faithful servants, ministers of the gospel, cowards on the road. Hallelujah. Your God and my God wants to come out of you a river. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 10:11 and Proverbs 10:11. Proverbs 10:11 says this. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Amen. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. 14:27 says this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Amen. What's coming out of my mouth? Turn with me to Exodus 47, 7 and 8. Exodus 47, 7 and 8. Exodus 47, 7 and 8 says this. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. This river goes where? Goes down. Humble. Ezekiel, yeah. 7 and 8. 47, 7 and 8. And reaches the sea, its waters are healed. the sea that it reaches, and the reason its waters are healed, because it's the sea of humanity. Everything in the sea got healed. You're talking about the sea of humanity. These rivers flow down to the sea, touch the myriad of the things in the sea, and they are healed. Hallelujah. It shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. Wherever the river goes, it brings life. Amen. There will be a very great multitude of fish or a harvest because these waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. Inside of you there is a river of living. That's why I called it living. There's inside of you a river of living waters from God Almighty Himself to bring healing, deliverance, fruitfulness to the sea of humanity. God needs you. He needs to get you out of you what He's placed within you to bring a fresh flow through you. Who wants that? If there is a blockage to the flow in the river of your life, then let's see God today break the dam as we humble ourselves before Him. And if we humble ourselves and allow truth to prevail of His word, the river will begin to flow afresh. Amen. It flows from the high to the low. But if I become full of pride and then acknowledge my problem, a river does not flow uphill. I become unfruitful. I become conceited and selfish. And I get caught up in my own desires. And therefore my Christian walk, my relationship with Him, suffers. Amen? Because I'm too proud to humble myself. Jesus gave us the greatest example of humility. When the disciples asked who would sit next to Him, and they were arguing who would sit at His right-hand side, Jesus did something so profound. He stripped Himself. He got a towel. He bent down. Now I'm talking about the King. He bent down and He washed their feet. It's not about place. It's not about status. It's not about position. It's not about if you can prophesy. It's not if you can sing the highest hallelujah. It's not about how well you sing. It's not about how great a gift you've got. I don't care if you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's not about any of that. In one way, I wish the Bible never said, first the apostles. I really do. Because humanity always wants to be number one. But to whom much has been given, much is required. The whole emphasis of the flowing river in your life is to bring glory to His name. Not glory to me. Not glory to West Point City Church. Not glory to the ACC. Not glory to the CCC and the BBC and the ABC. No, 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 no. I'm here and you're here to let this river flow, to bring to glory to one person and one alone. His name is Jesus Christ. No superstars. Jesus Christ. And when I allow myself to be used in this river to flow, you're bringing glory to His name. And you're touching lives. Amen. Let's stand. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. God did something miraculous for Moses, and he said to him, come up here. Moses turned aside and he went up the mountain of God, the Mount of Horeb, to behold something from the Lord. And the first thing the Father says to him is this, take your shoes off, for this is holy ground. First thing he said to him was this, get humble. Take off your walk. Take off that which you think you should be walking in and get before me humbly. Next couple of verses, the Bible says this. I came down that you might come up. The whole purpose of Jesus coming down was to lift people up. And he's going to use you. And he's going to use me. Every eye closed, every head bowed, please, this morning. If there's a blockage in your life, unforgiveness, which is probably the most horrific thing a Christian can ever walk in. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. The works of the flesh, Galatians. If you're battling anything that's stopping the blockage, he's here this morning, not to condemn you, but to set the captive free. He wants his investment in your life to be brought forth. That's you this morning. You just lift your hands before Jesus, the Master, the King of Heaven. The lover of your soul. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We come humbly before you that this river might flow again in my life. I want to bring glory to your name. I want my life to mean something for you. I don't want a half-hearted walk. I want to be wholeheartedly in pursuit of you, my Jesus. Therefore, I lay aside those things, those pains, those hurts, those rejections, that unforgiveness, that bitterness. Father, I lay it aside. I say, change me. Change me. I open the doors of my heart to that which might be closed in me. Fill the whole house, Father. Fill the whole house in me. I thank you today as my day of liberty and freedom. I thank you today, Father, that what you've placed in me will flow freely out of me to bring glory to your holy name. I want to say I love you. I thank you that I have the privilege to be called a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Help me to be that person that touches nations before me. That you might receive all the glory. If that's you this morning, you tell him amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God who does good things. Amen. I want to give you a hint. A little nugget. When you confess your sin, the enemy of your soul will come. And he'll say things like he said to Eve. Has God really? Has God really? What I've got to do is say things like this. The Word says, if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. And my sin is then as far as the east is to the... A lot of Christians struggle with forgiving themselves. You've got to forgive yourself. Amen. Now, if God's forgot it, because you've confessed it, if he's forgot it, because it's as far as the east as the west, who are you to remember it? Amen? If you're truly repentant, you are forgiven. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Great to be back. Missed you heaps. Love you heaps. And I'll see you next week. Invite a friend. Get people here. I really believe God's got a season of a word to bring forth. In Jesus' name. Amen.